The scripture reading for this morning is from Psalm 72. Psalm 72. Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness, and thy poor with judgment. The mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure, throughout all generations. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish, and abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. And he shall live, and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. There shall be an handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountains. The fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
On this last Lord's Day of the year, 2006, I would like to dwell with you on Psalm 72, the last verse, verse 20, the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. We see here the end of David's prayers. In the first place, we see it's not a prayer, but plural prayers. Prayers are many in the life of God's people. In the second place, it's the prayer of David. His name stands behind it. So prayers must be personal. Prayers of God's people are personal, with their whole heart, taught by the Holy Spirit. In the third place, we see prayers must start early, for David is here not called the king, but the son of Jesse. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, not the king of Israel. He became only king when he was 30 or 40 or so. But he started praying when he was even young, the son of Jesse. And in the fourth place, prayers must continue till their end. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. Prayers of God's people will continue till they reach their end. Others may pray for some time, but they don't persevere. They stop praying. But here is said of one of God's people, of David, that his prayers are ended, the end of his life. So the end of David's prayers must be many, prayers must be personal, prayers must start early, and prayers must continue till their end. Dear congregation, everything comes to an end. This applies also to this year. A day ends, a month ends, a year ends, homework ends, when you leave school, work ends, when you have to leave your active working years, health sometimes end, and our life ends also. Marriage can end too. Everything comes to an end. A church service also comes to an end. And some ones are happy about this. That's not a good sign. Someone other says, it's a pity that it comes to an end. In this earthly life, there is set for everything a time, but it's sometimes a pity that it ends. For we tasted some of eternity, of that moment when time will stop and pass over. In that age where there is not any longer time to worship God forever. That's a good sign. Then we tasted some of God's grace and God's glory. And we had the desire to glorify Him, though we are still in the midst of our sins. We are not loose from them. Still heaven. Heaven is drawing us with cords of eternal love. Well, this last day we wish each other a blessed end of the year, right? But how will be the end of this year? How are we looking back? How was this year? With respect to the fruit, the Lord is searching. Does He not find any fruit? Or does He? How will the end of this year be? And how will be the end of next year? How will be the end of this church service? How will be the end of your life? We must give an honest answer to these questions. How will be the end of our life? Will everything come to that end, to that purpose? God has given it to His glory. That God, as the Catechism says, that we might rightly know God the Creator and heartily, wholeheartedly love Him and live with Him, even once in eternal happiness, to glorify and to praise Him. For we are created for that end. But we are missing that end. And we will only reach that purpose if the Lord will by His Spirit restore us in true righteousness and holiness. That's necessary. What will be your end? Be restored in Christ? The only true righteous one and holy one? Or in yourself, so filthy of sin, not agreeable to God, if we be restored in Christ? Then we can sing, last time of this year, then we can sing, and blessed be His glorious name, as David sang, forever, and let the whole earth be filled with His glory. That text is just before our text. And blessed be His glorious name. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended here. He was restored in Christ. He was embracing Christ by faith. His house was not with the Lord. We can read these words also. His last words. In 2 Samuel 23, although my house be not so with God, yet He has made an everlasting covenant with me. His last words. And we can read His last warning to His children, especially to His son, Solomon. Keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in all His ways. His last warning. But here we read His last prayer, Psalm 72, of Jesse's son. His house is not so with God, that's true. He has to warn his son, that's true. Because he knows himself that he is conceived in sin. He has to warn his son. What can he do anymore to warn him? Well, he can pray. He is praying in Psalm 72. His last prayer. Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. That's in his heart. Prayer. And he dies with this prayer on his lips, such as to say, what can he do more than warn to pray for his son, for the furtherance of God's kingdom, that Solomon may be a means, a servant of the kingdom of that coming Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that he may be a type of him, that he may be example and point the people, all the people he is reigning, to him that is coming, the great son of David. Well, these prayers must be many. Not as requested, not must as being requested, required. Not as a requirement, but they must be because the circumstances of life. And our own hearts, they must be many. They were many in the life of David. He passed through all kinds of circumstances. And he had some heavy times. We sang Psalter 194. It's Psalm 49. I'm a stranger here below. I'm a pilgrim. And I am but frail and weak. O Lord, remember me. He had to flee for King Saul. Would he end up to be king himself? The Lord had promised him. He was anointed to be a king. Would he once be a king? Oh, it seemed that he would die by the hand of Saul. How many a reason was there for him to pray later on? When he was a king. when he went astray himself and sinned heavily against the Lord, when he had to experience that all its children are conceived in sin. O thou, my house, be not so with God. There was many a reason to pray. And also now for David, when Solomon is succeeding him, and he abdicates, and he gives the kingdom to his son Solomon, but would there be a hope for him? From him, from Solomon? Could he trust him? He could trust his son just as he could trust himself. He prays for his son. There is many a reason to pray for his son. So we can say in this psalm, the spiritual life of David, the work of the Lord in David's life, finds its highest end, and therefore it stands nearly in the midst of the book of Psalms. 150 Psalms, this is Psalm 72. Here is the aim. He finds here his end, his purpose. It strikes that he does not pray for himself, for his own kingdom. For whom David is praying? Well, the heading says, a psalm for Solomon. And then we see some people in this psalm he's praying for. He prays for the oppressed, for the poor, for the needy, not for the nobleman, not for the mighty man, but for the poor and needy. For the oppressed, they are in need because the mighty exploit them. They use them for their own ends, but not as God meant it. The poor are in need because they have no food, no drink, no clothes, no dwelling place. They are naked. Someone must to take care of them. Someone must. Who? It's the duty of the king. On behalf of the King of Kings, the Lord. Weak are in need also, because they can't overcome the oppressors, and they can't get over the trials of life. The weak, the undistinguished, are also in need, because no one considers them. David is praying for those people, for the poor, for the needy. He had learned it himself. The Lord will preserve a people that's poor and needy and that will trust in the Lord. And it's the duty of the king, and it's the grace of the Lord to remember those people. For what David is praying? For justice and righteousness, that the kingdom of God may come, may be established in many hearts, in young hearts, in the hearts of those who are in their old age. By that gracious and mighty king. He already sang about him in Psalm 45. Oh, what a meek king! What a sweet king! What a precious king is he! He is not only looking to Solomon his son, but in him he is looking to his great son, the Messiah that will come. O Lord, establish thy righteousness by thy son, the Christ that is coming, and wilt thou confirm his kingdom from age to age, and remember in him the poor, the needy, For he will send away the hungry, those who are filled with their own richnesses, with their own righteousness, but he will supply with all the needs of the poor and needy people. He will deliver them from the evil one that are oppressed. He will provide for righteousness those who can't find any righteousness before God in their own soul. Oh, give thy righteousness unto thy Son, O Lord, the only begotten one, the King of kings, born in Bethlehem, the city of David. And here he is, their kinsman. He is one of their family. He became one of their family. Here he is, their kinsman. He became human flesh. He became one of them, the King of kings, in human flesh, as if he were in need himself. He came so lowly, and he humbled himself to supply the poor and the needy. And his kingdom will stretch from sea to sea, even to the ends of the earth, as we read in verse 8. Who will come? Who will come to him and bow before him? That's also in the psalm. Those who are in the wilderness. Verse 9. They shall bow before him. The wilderness, lacking everything. And I can't take care of themselves. In the wilderness, they were used to go their own way. Those that hardened their hearts, that murmured against God because of his way of providence, those will bow before him. They will, because he will subdue them to himself in a way of righteousness and in a way of grace. He will teach them his righteousness, and he will show his mercy unto them. Christ will make his enemies, we read, to lick the dust. You see, you afflicted one, tossed back and through by Satan's whisperings and words. Christ will make his enemies bow and even his enemies that don't want to bow themselves, they will lick the dust. The Lord promised already to Satan. That's also a promise. You say maybe it's a punishment to him, but that's also a promise. We think promises are only in favor of those who hear them. No. There are also other promises. He promises the Satan that he will lick the dust. Or as it is in Genesis 3, he will eat dust. And therefore his claims are not true. He's coming time and again to God's people and say, I have a claim to you because you also listen to me. I have a right to you, but he has no right. Jesus will make him to lick the dust. And he will give a people a receptive heart to follow him, to come at his feet. You think, is there any room for me at his feet? I'm sure there is. We don't want to bow down before him. But once we bow at his feet, we find there is room. Otherwise the Lord wouldn't warn us and say, kiss the Son lest he be angry with you. There is room at his feet. We don't want that room, and for that cause we think there is no room for us. But there is room at his feet to teach every day again, to learn every day again from him at his feet like Mary. So meek he is that he does not send away from his footstool, from his feet, a people that's bowing down. Even it was rebellious and guilty, he will show him his mercy, his loving kindness. Oh, David is praying for this. And we see them come. Not only shepherds, but even kings from the east, they come. And give all their treasures to him. Why? Maybe you have, as a child, some precious things. And you keep them from your brothers and sisters. Your treasures. Now the wise men had also their treasures, and they came from the east, following the star. And they bowed down for the child at his feet and gave him all their treasures. Why? Why were they so willingly to give all their treasures? Because they had a new treasure there in that house. Maybe still in that manger or now in a cradle. We read nothing about that, but they bowed down on their knees and gave all their treasures, because there was their treasure. A new one. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. Christ is everything they experienced. Christ is all a sinner has. Nothing more. And he has nothing from his own. They gave all their treasures to him, that he could be everything to them. And that was all they needed. Kings shall come. Kings shall come. David is praying and singing. And shall fall down before him, and all nations shall serve them. And in verse 10, the kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts, and the kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents. It became true in Bethlehem. The wise men came and gave him all their treasures. Is he the treasure of your heart? If you can conclude that, you have a happy end of the year. Though no treasures were left to you, that's the own treasure, the only treasure. And maybe you are afraid, well, I've lost that treasure. Well, the marvelous thing about this treasure is God's people can't lose it anymore. Though they forfeit it every day. Because he is keeping it in heaven. So David is praying. And we see in the gospel, there's one Zacchaeus. As Zacchaeus, he wanted to see Jesus. But Jesus saw him. And Jesus said, "Make haste, Zacchaeus, come down, for today I must abide in thy house." See the same. He will subdue even such a publican at his feet, who had all his life in his work and had to sin because of his work and because of his own heart. But the Lord said, "I see you, Zacchaeus. Make haste, come down. I must be in your house this very day. It's not too late." Not this very day. Oh, that may happen to you. As that woman in the Netherlands I spoke once to, she said, "I'm always waiting in my home, this table, waiting for him that he will come." And I said to her, "He is still waiting for from all eternity to receive a people." Make haste. Come down, for today I must abide in thy house. Do not climb. Descend. He will find him. As that humble boy in the manger, David prays, not for success for his son. No, he prays that the Lord's will is done in Solomon's life, and definitely in the life, in the suffering and death of that great Son of David, Jesus Christ. So that should be also our prayer. Not that that our will is done by God, but that His will is done by us. Since Psalm 72. His name shall endure forever. His name, not my name. David is praying. But is prayer in church enough, you ask? Well, no. Prayers must also be personal. They become personal. Because if the Lord will work through His Spirit in your life, you see your personal needs. These are the prayers of David. Prayers that stand in David's name. David did not charge the priests or the Levites with praying for him in the tabernacle. He prays himself. And we have so many prayers of him. He was not a priest, was he? But he has so many prayers from him. Also this one. Because it was personal in his life. He experienced already what later on the Lord Jesus was saying to that woman at Jacob's well. "Those who will worship me in spirit and in truth." David was one. He did not charge the priests, as many kings in the ancient Near East did, "Pray for me." As the Catholic Church says, "We'll pray for you, for your poor soul." No. David is praying himself. Can it be said about us? Behold, he's praying. Behold, she prays. She's meditating the Word of God. Can it be said of us, about us? Though it seemed so dark and so hopeless, for David. And we see that other man, that Saul, that was persecuting the church, but he was cut down by the Lord. Though it seemed so dark for his soul, he saw all his guilt, that he had to throw away his own righteousness, and nothing was left to him. He was praying. And Ananias said, I will not go. But the Lord said, behold, he's praying. He's humbling himself for me. And it's so dark for him. His eyes are shut for the salvation. Is there any salvation for me? Oh, be merciful upon me, sinner. 3 days of darkness. And the Lord said to his servant, go to him. For he's praying. I ask you and I ask myself, can there be any spiritual life if you don't turn to personal prayer time and again? And then it's not necessary that they are so beautiful in composition or in words. Those prayers are beautiful who are upright, that are upright from a soul that does not want any longer to hide, to keep something secret from the eyes of the Lord, but that revealed all its sins. And how has to tell everything? Ah, Lord, I will not keep away from thy ears all my sins, my iniquities, but I will tell them to you, to thee. O Lord, be merciful upon me, a sinner. Prayer is the breathing of the soul. Someone said, well, that's true. It's the breathing of the soul. If there is no prayer, there is no life. Just as breath means to us, prayer means the same to God's people. That's their breathing. They pray in their inner room, in their closet. They pray, driving their car from one place to another. They pray, walking. They can't but pray. I should even say they can't help it, because the Lord is drawing them. And he opened their hearts. And if there is some ingoings, there are some ingoings of God to the soul, then there are also some outgoings. It's going out to the Lord, not in beautiful words, sometimes in mere sighs, sighing, O Lord, when will I meet thee? When will I see thee again and behold thy glory, thy grace, thy loving kindness? I have seen it before. O renew, O Lord. And he can do that also when we are far away at great distance from our family, to worship him in truth and in spirit. Then it has become truth in our souls. Wicked to the bottom of our soul, but there is a good Savior in heaven. The life of faith is, you can compare it to a certain race. And God's people are running in a race. And when you are running in a race, it's not good to have so many things on your back. You can't use a burden when you are running. You like to put it off, to relieve yourself from that burden. As you can see with those men running in a race, they have no bags on their back. No. That's not good, not profitable to be the fastest. Well, and every one of God's people must run for the prize. There is a prize for everybody of them. But they must run as if they should have the first prize. And they must be relieved from all your burdens. Well, prayer is the exercise of faith. And then you must be relieved of all your burdens. Become silent before the Lord. Meditate upon a certain piece of His Word. Humble yourself. Search your ways of the last year, almost ended. And bow your knees. You can't find a word. Only pray for that spirit of grace and prayer. Or is there any burden? In the Netherlands, I taught 1 year some Bible classes at the school, and I find out that many of my pupils were at night behind their computer. That's a burden. Then you can't listen the other day to the Word of God because all is flying through your head. You must be confused. Playing games. And for other people, there are talkings. Satan, he is not rove with us. If we talk with other people, about several subjects, if we keep talking, it's his trick, his temptation for church people to keep them busy, that they can't enter the closet. It's his trick for church people to keep them occupied with the earthly matters, that they wouldn't go in their closet. But God's people will go there to repent because they can't miss the Lord. And because the Lord can't miss them, and He draws them. And then it becomes very personal. They are seeing their personal needs. And they will bring their needs to the Lord. And then they pray. To pray is to bring to God the needs of your soul and body. In the awareness of your needs, how many times are we aware of our needs? We must discover those needs by the convincing work of the Holy Spirit. Therefore we need the Spirit of grace and supplication time and again. That's prayer. To bring your needs to God. And trusting Him alone for the outcome. But one says, you can also pray amiss. To the wrong end. That says James in his letter. you don't receive then. You can pray for all your life, but you pray amiss. What's then the wrong end? Well, James explains. It can be very personal. But you can pray for the wrong end, that you may consume it upon your lusts, to your own end, to God's end. Becomes so personal. But there a person is losing it, his own interests, and gets hold, is viewing God's interest and God's glory and God's honor. We can pray, Lord, give me repentance, as Augustine once did. It was very personal, but to the wrong end, because he said, not today. Because I would like to enjoy my life for more years. The Lord did not hear that prayer. No, he heard the prayer of his mother. Repent, my son, today. He didn't receive his prayer. Because he did it to the wrong end. Well, that was the way of the Lord, you say. And there was someone else praying for him, that's true. But as an example, that we can pray personally and still to the wrong end, to pray amiss, it must become personal. And then we find ourselves as a weak, as a sinful person before the Holy Lord. And then all lust to pray for our own interest is gone. So we see it is personal. Not a prayer of the congregation, but a prayer of David. David had no rest anymore. I'm poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God, for it's maybe the last day. Make haste, O Lord. He says in Psalm 70, in Psalm 38, many times, make haste, O Lord. I've no more rest till thou wilt help me and be my Savior now and in the future. And then you learn that prayer of the Heavenly Advocate is indispensable. It's necessary that the Lord only hears because of one that's praying night and day at the right hand of his Father, great Son of David. He brings the personal prayers of his people, of his own, of those trusting in him personally, to his Father. Whenever you will ask the Father in my name, he promised, he will give it you. When must one start, you ask? When one must start to pray? Well, David's life puts us an example. One must start early. Our third point of attention. Very early. You will always regret if you don't start early. Maybe the Lord must draw you from some place you should not be. And we all know we are not like we should be. We have not been the last year as we should be. But to start prayer early. And maybe it's your only prayer I can't pray. Teach me to pray. But that's also a prayer. David started when he was still young. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse. Not when he was an old king and had many people looking to him. When he was in a high position. No, he already started when he was young. Otherwise, he couldn't have served the Lord as a king, the king of all Israel. He started early from his youth. He had sought the Lord and found him. When he was still shepherding the flock of his father, his thoughts were with the Lord. David, the son of Jesse, what you learned in your young days, you can react against when you are grown up, but you will never get rid of it. And maybe it will become a blessing in your later years. So never despise the education of your parents. You can say, as some young people in the Netherlands say, well, let's live and enjoy life, because if we are one of his chosen, then the Lord will arrest us sometime and will convert us sometime. That's not the way. We have no right to live separate from the Lord. Even if we can't. We are not able to do it. We are so wicked and so unbelieving that we can't live with the Lord. And we are always going our own ways. The Lord has a right to our life. And he stressed that right when we were baptized. He has a right. Maybe not the right of his elected, but he has a right because we were created after his image. And he wants it back. He has a right to us. And then we can better start early and experience that we can't pray. And to say, well, I know I can't pray and I'll enjoy the world. And when the Lord wants me to be one of his chosen, well, I find out later on. That's very risky. You are in peril of perishing eternally. Really? David started when he was still young. And what he learned in his young days, he did in his old days, till the end of his life. Because here his prayers end. The disciples, they were still young men too. Now they had a family and they had work. And they left their work and the calling of the Lord. Nobody was fishing for their family anymore. But did they come short of anything? No. They were taught by the Lord. And once they said, well, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. If you don't become aware any time, you won't pray really and uprightly. If you don't become aware, you can't pray. You won't pray really and uprightly any time. Teach us to pray. David taught, learned in his youth, when he was still in his sheep. It's but a little psalm, a famous psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I do not want anything No, I do not want. Maybe his own words were later on in his mind and were a trial for him. Do I not want anything? Well, when I was still with my father's flock, I did not want anything. But now, my life is in danger. But he prayed it. He said it. I will not want anything but for the good of my soul. Maybe there were also times that he didn't find words to pray. And he felt himself unworthy. As a young man, as a young girl. Oh, I'm so sinful. I thought I was doing good. Fighting that one sin. But more sins come back. I am sin. I am sin. You feel so unworthy. How should you draw near to the Lord? How should you pray? How should you utter one word to the Holy One? But the Spirit teaches to pray because He is drawing too. And as that earthly comforter, He knows your needs. O people of God, and as that divine person, He convinces and helps our infirmities. He makes intercession with unspeakable groanings that can't be uttered. You do not dare to utter, He utters. And you can't utter. But He is groaning the soul of Christ's people. Of those who are drawn to Him. He makes intercession. And then you may experience what it is to pray. By that spirit of prayer and supplication. David already prayed when he was young. Wherewithal, a young man, a young woman will cleanse her way, his way, by taking heed. Dare to, according to thy word. And with my whole soul, with my whole heart I have sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. But are you seeking in this world? Or are you seeking the things that are above? Where Christ is. Is that your end? Was that your end this year? Has that become your end? Where Christ is. Praying. During the day and during the night. Even when the prayers of His people end. David was already praying in his youth, and he was scared of himself. I have sought thee, but he at the same time he knows that he is so unfaithful. O, let me not wander from thy commandments, from thy word, O Lord. And we can even go further back. David's parents already prayed for him. Psalm 22. Oh, he can read all psalms and sing and see his prayers. And the prayers that were done before for him. He was already cast upon the Lord from the womb. Before he was born, he was cast upon the Lord. Oh, parents to come, do you pray for your children that will be born in due time, you hope? But I hope you too pray for them, that they will be, again born, reborn by that Holy Spirit. David's parents did. And he was seeking the Lord from his very youth. Those who seek me early is the promise of the Lord I give to you, young people. Those who seek the Lord will find him, and who finds him will find life. That's life. That's life. That's only life. Well, when start? Start early. When stop? Our fourth point of attention. Prayers must continue till their end is reached. David's prayers are ended, we read. Do your prayers just stop? Did they stop? Or did they reach last year their end? God's purpose. Their very end. The meditation of Christ in His glory. His glorious kingdom. Not my name or your name, but His name. And the furtherance of His kingdom. That many rebellious men and women will become His servants. To start with your own self. To seek the extension of His kingdom here below. Well, that's a pleasant end, a pleasant purpose of life. Because He's taking care of it from heaven. And would such prayers miss their end? Miss their purpose? David's prayers are ended. The church always prays. It can't sleep, that's true. As we see in a parable about the wise and the foolish, they can't sleep. But they immediately return to prayer when they hear by the footsteps of the Lord. For He is not anymore a stranger to her. She knows Him and she loves Him. Therefore His prayer is going on. Is going out to Him. Where can we find Thee, O Lord? The church prays always. Because the Spirit does not stop any time. And it's praying with groanings that can be uttered. Christ is protecting His church. And keeping His church praying on this earth. For He is reigning. Though you sometimes think it's going the wrong way. It's not going the wrong way. The voice of the martyrs, they became dumb. But still their prayers are heard. Their Savior is alive. Their heavenly King. David is dying. And Solomon will succeed him. And he can't give his son in the future more counsel or more advice. But counsels and warnings silence. However, prayers still resound. For the great Son of David is living. At the right hand of his Father. That's the comfort of David. His work is done. Because it's done by his great Son in heaven. David, the son of Jesse, not the son of God, but that humble man. God has taken from behind the flock and made him king over Israel. That he humbles himself. He loves God more than his own name and kingdom. And he makes himself so small to exalt God. And now his life is reaching its due end. He ends in the Lord. In glorifying Him. He climbed to the top of the mountain by prayer to God Himself. And with these words, He is ready to die. He descends from His throne. And now He sees the crowned Messiah that's coming, that has come in Bethlehem. And now He can leave all to Him. His kingdom, His name, they are not worthy anything. But He can leave all God's promises and all unheard prayers to Him. Our prayers will also end one day when we die. But did we then see? Would we have seen then the day of the Lord, the day of His coming to our souls, that He came and erected His throne in our hearts? Prayer here becomes praise. If faith may see perfect salvation in Him, and David sees, the work is done by that King of Kings. But you say, well, the believer is still in need in the midst of all trial and afflictions. As long as he is not delivered from this poor and wretched body, so captured by sin. Well, therefore he's longing for the day of the Lord that's coming, when he will judge the quick and the dead, and when this day of salvation will dawn. Prayer passes over into eternal praise, and that only will be today and tomorrow and every year. A blessed end. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, Thou hast created us to that right end. Grant us to end in Thee, that our purpose may become the furtherance of Thy kingdom, to start in our own souls, to start in the souls of our beloved ones and other people surrounding us, to the glory of Thy name. Then it's not even our own salvation that's the most important thing, but Thy glory and Thy kingdom. And then sometimes prayer passes over in praise. It's soon gone on this earth, in this life. But grant Thy people the taste of it, that their longing is to Thee, to Thy day, to the day of perfect salvation. They'll see Him without any sin. O Lord, that light has shined this morning in our midst, that we don't flee from that light, but come to that light, because we are drawn by cords of love, of Thy love, lest we not perish, lest Thou wilt not be angry with us at Thy day. O Lord, we thank Thee for having the opportunity to meet each other, but above all, to listen to Thy word once more this year. O will Thou, let us stand that fruit may come on the tree of our lives to the glory of thy name. That fruit of the Spirit, we ask thee, because that's the only right thankfulness. From that thanking and praying, Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ in heaven, we ask thee in his name. Amen.